This is Outspoken, the podcast that's not afraid to say exactly what you're thinking.
Our names are Amy, Kate and Sophie Torber. We're identical triplets, but we often don't have identical opinions. So sometimes things can get heated.
Outspoken covers all things reality TV, influencers, entertainment and issues facing women.
That is so fetch.
Thank you.
Happy Friday and welcome back to Outspoken.
Kate, I think you mean welcome back to Frank the podcast.
Oh, sorry. I forgot that was our new name. One of our listeners pointed out that there was an article written in the Sydney News today and they referred to our podcast as Frank the podcast.
I'm so confused where that even came from because Outspoken sounds nothing like Frank.
Yeah, because they also called us Kate, Amy and Sophie Toybar, which was spelled T-O-Y-B-A-R, which is like completely different to the spelling of our name.
I have to say, our name is pretty difficult to spell and pronounce though.
I know. It sounds like they went for the very German pronunciation.
Well, I think we should get into our social dilemma of the week because we've had some listeners write in. So there's a few questions that we have. The first says, should I invite a friend's boyfriend to my birthday, even though he makes me feel incredibly uncomfortable? Do I suck it up because I want my friend there, or do I not invite her at all? She knows I don't like him.
I feel like you've got to work out, is the friend going to come even if you don't invite her boyfriend? Because it seems like this listener thinks that they're coming as a couple and, you know, if one doesn't come, the other won't come.
Yeah, well, she said that she's thinking of not inviting the friend so she doesn't have to not invite the boyfriend.
I feel like that's just a friendship breakdown waiting to happen because I feel like once she feels excluded, then it's kind of making an issue between you and her.
And it's strengthening the relationship as well.
Yeah, yeah.
But also she said that he makes her feel uncomfortable. I wonder how he's making her feel uncomfortable. Is he hitting on her? Is it just because he's rude or doesn't treat the friend properly?
I feel like if this girl's your friend, you should be able to have a discussion with her and say, look, I really want you to come to my party, but he makes me feel a bit uncomfortable. So does he have something on that, you know, he can do rather than coming?
See, I think she should just be the bigger person and just invite him and see if he comes. Because if this guy is making her feel uncomfortable, he might actually not like her and not want to come.
So it might be mutual.
That way you seem like the good guy.
Yeah, you're the bigger person out of it.
Well, I have to say, we experienced this a little bit with you, Kate, when you had your ex-boyfriend, because it was quite evident that Amy and I did not get along with him. He did not like us. And there were many situations where, you know, because he lived in Melbourne, he'd be coming over for the weekend and we'd just be like, no, I don't want to spend any time with him because he also made us feel uncomfortable. But it was really hard to come to you and say that.
Well, yeah. You told me all the time you didn't like him.
It just caused arguments though.
And you know what? That was the worst thing because then suddenly Sophie and I became the enemy rather than
And it
the
pushes
boyfriend.
You towards the boyfriend because then they're going to bitch about you or the friend or whatever. They're going to bitch and say, oh, it's not fair that they should have put you first.
Or also other friends might feel sorry for the boyfriend that's not invited. He may then look like the good guy out of this. Yeah. So it's a really difficult situation.
I think invite him and see if he comes.
Yeah. The next question was, should you tell your partner if they have bad BO?
This is funny because
you have bad BO.
No, not because I have bad BO. Well, I hope I don't have bad BO, but I was using this natural deodorant for a little while and Brandon, we were lying next to each other in bed. And he kind of went over and sniffed my underarm. He's like,
you never want that.
He's like, could you stop using that natural stuff? Like, I'm so sorry, but ever since you started using it, really smell, like you just smell different.
See, I find that really confusing because I use that deodorant and I love it and I feel like I smell less.
Oh my God.
So it's kind of scary for me to hear that. Reese hasn't made any comments. Maybe I'll have to ask.
He's like, can you just go back to the chemical stuff? Because clearly it was doing something. But I mean, I think it's a really hard topic to broach because you could broach it with a sense of humor.
It's kind of like the question of, do you tell your partner if they've got bad breath? Because with the breath and the BO thing, I kind of think if they're leaving to go to work and you can smell their breath or they've got bad BO, you should probably tell them because they're going to be around other people. But if it's kind of just a lingering sense, say you've been on a run or something, then and there's an obvious reason why they smell, maybe don't mention it.
I think, though, that there's a way of saying it because I know with the three of us, we're so cruel to each other that when we lived together, I remember if I'd breathe in your way,
I'd be like, you stink. And I'd be so offended.
I would have never, ever said that. I could have said to you, Kate, oh, I'm really sorry, but maybe you should brush your teeth and you would have been offended.
Yeah, well, I think that's the ideal way to broach something. Like if your partner's breath stunk or something and they were about to go out, be like, oh, did you brush your teeth? Or
you know what another one is? you should, like in the case of the BO, maybe you should just buy them a new deodorant and say, hey, I actually got this from the shops.
That's
like,
not subtle at all.
It could be subtle, but I also think you need it. It depends how long you've been dating someone for, because Brandon and I have been together for almost 5 years. And in that situation, it was fine. Had we been going out for a year, I would have been really embarrassed.
It just reminded me when we were in year seven, we did this thing called Tournament of Minds. And it was this problem solving acting thing. And Amy, in Amy's group, they had a girl that unfortunately smelled like BO. And it was kind of that awkward stage at primary school when you're kind of going through puberty, but some girls aren't. So I think some were wearing deodorant, some weren't. Anyway, so this poor girl was kind of stinking the whole room out. So one of the other girls came up with the idea that she was going to make in order for everyone to enter the room at the start of the day, that they'd have to spray themselves with deodorant. So it was kind of didn't make her feel singled out, which I think was quite a clever idea for a year seven student.
Yeah, it definitely was. The other question we had is saying no to being a bridesmaid because it costs you your life savings.
Did one of you guys send this in?
Yeah. We haven't asked us officially yet.
I know.
Okay.
Well, you might not be asked if this is your attitude to it.
I feel like the bridesmaid topic is a really awkward one because it's at this point in your life when you can actually lose really good friends.
Why?
Because you're pointing out who your best friends are. You're ranking your friends. So the fact that you're ranking people, some people are getting upset for not being asked. Then you have a situation where someone doesn't even want to be asked because they don't want to spend any money.
But I think it's because it kind of, anytime you bring up money in a friendship, it does get awkward. And I think there are no set rules in how much someone is meant to spend as a bridesmaid. It's hard to know what to expect.
Yeah, I feel like it's an awkward thing for me coming up because I've never really thought about how I do it. I mean, I've heard backlash about from other people, you know, having to spend too much money.
I also think though, if you are worried that it's going to cost too much money and you just don't have the money to spend to be the bridesmaid, I would just have a really open and honest discussion with your friend about it and say, hey, I'm really flattered and I would love to, but I'm just concerned that I don't have the money at the moment to spend on this.
I feel like it would be better than just rejecting the role completely because I'm sure if this person is your friend, they're going to understand where you're coming from and not want you to feel uncomfortable.
But also, how does this person know that it's going to be expensive? If the bride-to-be is putting off a vibe of it going to be a very bougie, expensive ordeal for you, then I do think it should be reasonable for you to say, hey, I'm so sorry, we're just saving for a house and I don't really have that much money, so I want you to have what you want for the bridesmaid. So I'm happy to maybe play a special part in the day doing something
different. Or even offer to just pay a percentage of the dress. You could say, hey, I'm happy to pay 50%, but are you able to put the rest of the money in?
Lillian, look at this one. Isn't this pretty?
Yeah.
It's really pretty and sweet and, you know, we don't want to upstage Lillian with a big fancy dress. Maybe we should just get something kind of simple.
The Australian Securities and Investments Commission have put finfluencers on notice. This week, ASIC's Commissioner Danielle Press confirmed it is illegal for unlicensed influencers to provide financial advice. The Commissioner urged the public to alert ASIC to influencers who are straying into formal financial advice without a license. So Kate, what exactly did the ASIC Commissioner say?
Well, Danielle Press said, if it is advice and it's unlicensed, that is an illegal activity. We would be very interested in that activity. If there is evidence, we would very much appreciate it being referred to us so we can look at it appropriately because it is illegal activity. The commissioner also went on to say that unlicensed advice was one of the topics the regulator was looking at very closely and considering. ASIC's chairman Joe Longo also commented, saying social media influencers giving financial advice was an area of big concern for the agency.
Well, these comments from ASIC seem to be in complete contradiction to the comments from Financial Services Minister Jane Hume last month.
Well, they very much are. We actually did speak about this a couple of weeks ago on the podcast, but for those who missed it, Minister Hume compared the level of influence of a TikTok influencer spruiking Nokia to the bloke down at the pub sharing investment tips.
And we obviously thought this was a load of crap when the minister made these comments because she was completely ignoring how much influence these finfluencers and other influencers have over society.
I mean, the name is has influencer in it.
Exactly.
She lost me when she was referencing Nokia. I know. That's a different story.
Well, talking about contradictions, the Australian Financial Review's wealth editor, Alex Vikovich, has some egg on his face following his coverage of finfluencers. So on June 8th, he wrote an article called Finfluencers at War Over Robo-Advice Deals.
Yeah, so in this article, Alex really championed the opinions of unlicensed finfluencers Tash Etchman and Maddie Walton, who accused licensed financial advisor Victoria Devine of non-disclosure of financial benefits around her white label investing platform. So we did discuss this topic in depth on a podcast last week, so we'll link it in the show notes for those who missed it. On this topic, I really did want to point out that we certainly don't think Tash and Maddie need to be licensed financial advisors to share their opinions on the marketing of the She's on the Money investing platform. Unfortunately, some people misunderstood our stance when we were discussing Tash and Maddie's professional qualifications. So I just wanted to point out that we discussed their status as unlicensed as it was relevant to the broader discussion about rules regarding unlicensed and licensed influencers. And really, in the wake of ASIC's deeming unlicensed influencers providing financial advice as illegal, it is rather interesting that their opinions on a licensed financial advisor's product were championed in this AFR article.
Well, what's really interesting is Alex ended up writing a small article for the Australian Financial Review about the recent revelations from ASIC, which was entitled ASIC Takes Aim at Finfluencers. And it's really interesting to note the size of the article.
Oh, it was so tiny in comparison. There was no photo. It was literally in the corner of the newspaper that no one would even look at.
Well, for someone who's worked as a journalist, generally if you're having to apologize or go back on something that was incorrect, you are supposed to publish an article that is the same size. You can't just
but it wasn't a retraction. It was just
I know it's not a retraction, but I almost feel like it is, because how can you champion one thing in one publication and then go back and say something different?
But it's based on the minister's comments, so it's not a complete, it's not him retracting his comments. But you make a good point in that normally newspapers are meant to actually write an article which is the same size if there is a retraction. However, most end up writing a tiny little article which they put in the back page of the paper that no one sees.
And this is what it looked like. So to me, though, I found it rather interesting that this wasn't a bigger article, because I feel like this is a really big deal and he could have really promoted this a lot, because everyone's been discussing this and everyone's been calling out for finfluencers to be regulated.
I can imagine it would have been quite embarrassing for Alex considering the newsletter he published last week as well.
Yeah, I can imagine he didn't enjoy printing ASIC's commentary, particularly after he praised the new breed of financial influencers for their positive intentions and valuable insights in his AFR newsletter called Wealth Generation. So in the newsletter, Alex said, "It's not correct to say all unlicensed commentators should be discounted or that all licensed advisors should be trusted." In the same newsletter, he actually slammed our podcast. So he said, "The nasty comments about the young woman who dared to call out Victoria Devine and Six Park for lackluster disclosure, as well as inaccuracies about our own coverage." He also claimed he had requested clarification to the podcaster's publisher, who he noted as Hula Media, which for those who don't know is Amy and Sophie's PR business.
Now, can I say I did receive an email from Alex. It was actually in my spam mail, as I've never actually, you know, engaged with him before.
Hula Media is not connected to the podcast at all.
It is not. In saying that, I was also on a week's leave.
Well, I thought Alex's comments were pretty interesting, because to me, it seemed like he had a bit of internalized misogyny going on, because he was quick to label a female-led podcast commentary as nasty, yet he had nothing to say about Glenn James's comments, who was lovely and appeared on the podcast. He had a lot of interesting things to say, yet his commentary was quite similar to ours, and he has since appeared on Glenn James's podcast. So it seems a bit odd.
Well, talking about Glenn James, as you said, Alex actually did appear on the My Millennial Money podcast, and he was there to talk about ASIC's targeting finfluencers. And he actually used the opportunity to open up about his article, Finfluencers at War, which we spoke about before. So during the interview, he disclosed that unlicensed finfluencers, Tash and Maddie, came to him with their criticism of Victoria Devine's white label investing platform.
Now, what was really interesting here is that he actually referred to Tash and Maddie as whistleblowers. This is what he said.
I think, you know, the reason that I have been supportive, I'd say, recently more than others in the media around some of these finfluencers, partly because I think that in the case that you're talking about, you know, you had a couple of young women there with growing social media profiles who were simply, you know, criticizing a product. And then bring it to the attention of the press, which, you know, to explain my own biases, any journalist worth their salt would always support a whistleblower, and would come in to support them, and wouldn't have them be, you know, publicly bullied if they were helpful in terms of trying to provide information that may or may not be in the public interest, right?
Firstly, I really found Alex's decision to use the term whistleblower rather interesting because I feel like it's quite a loaded word in the journalism industry. So for those unaware, the definition of a whistleblower is a person who informs on a person or organization regarded as engaging in an unlawful or immoral activity. So I just found it weird that that's how he liked to refer to Tash and Maddie.
Yeah, but he also outed them as being the sources of his story because I think there were question marks over whether Alex went to the girls or whether the girls came to him.
Yeah.
And what it's evident is that those girls came to Alex with a story which gives them a motive in terms of wanting to portray Victoria Devine in a certain way.
Yeah, because I think that the girls have kind of been pushing the fact that, oh, no, we were just sort of talking on our platform to make other people aware that these are sort of the loopholes and that the language and marketing is a little bit confusing. However,
that's not what the article was about, was
it? No, it's quite clear that these women went to the AFR after they published a very positive article about Victoria's investing platform to be negative about it.
It is exactly right. And I think that's one of the points that we brought up in our podcast last week, that we were questioning the motives of why you would do that. And obviously, there are many whistleblowers who do go on and question the behaviors of some companies. People go out and expose people. But at the end of the day, it was clear that there had been no wrongdoing on Victoria's behalf.
Well, particularly when Victoria did clear up the issue on Maddie's Instagram account and also then went to add additional comments to her podcast where she outlined everything about the investing platform. So that's what I found it really confusing because I do think there was a lot of hiding behind, oh no, but we're just trying to do it for the good. And I did find it a little bit vindictive that they went directly to the journalist to create a slam piece.
But there seemed to be a narrative that all they were doing were answering people's questions about the app. But it's clear, as you said, that they actually went to the AFR with this story.
Yeah, and created negativity around it.
You need to run from my pages. You need to pack up your sad little box tie and your Crocs and fuck off. Who are you that you think an unfollow would also give me two flying fives? Just unfollow and disappear. Do you think I give a fuck? Unfollow, leave, we'll never see you again. Phenomenal. We didn't want you here in the first place. We don't want you here now. We won't want you here in the future. You are ruining the vibe that we have going on. Do you know what I'm saying?
In a rather interesting twist, influencer Addis Paul has revealed what happened to cryptocurrency Hushcoin, which he was promoting just 4 weeks ago. So in a recent Q&A on his Instagram story, he was asked, what is happening to Hushcoin? You played us. So we did speak about this on the podcast about a month ago. So for those who missed it, we will put a link in the show notes. So basically, the Paul family were promoting a new cryptocurrency token called Hushcoin. So Addis, alongside his sister Anna and girlfriend Michaela Tester, who all have millions of followers across TikTok, Instagram, and OnlyFans, they shared posts promoting the coin. So on Instagram last month, he shared a screenshot of his bank account with the figure $48,219. He wrote that $38,219 was profit from a 10K investment in Hushcoin. So he said, I have been researching crypto for a long, long time, 10 plus hours a day. I have made my family so much effing money this year. You've all been asking for it, so it's time to share this shit with everyone. Private group launching tonight, do not sleep on this. He then followed it up by sharing a message that someone had apparently sent him saying, bro, I've made 11K from coins you've posted.
It gets a bit disturbing because Addis, who has no background in finance other than Googling cryptocurrency, started up a private OnlyFans account called Crypto Ball Runs. So if you want to subscribe to his OnlyFans, it costs you $49.99 a month to access what he calls as every must-have coin to add to your portfolio. And he also provides daily updates on coins that he's recommending.
So it appears that there are some pretty dissatisfied followers who have taken Addis his family's advice on board, and they did question him in the recent Q&A. This is what he had to say in response.
They played us, okay? We were promised that there was going to be a lot of big celebrities doing a lot of marketing, and they were going to be a real big coin. They're going to be a coin that's there to stay, not just another moonshot coin. And I thought, believe what they told me. I believe they were a real coin. And what happens? We were the big celebrities that posted about it. There were some other flop, like Instagram people posting about it. They didn't do a thing to it. We bumped it up. They put our faces on that fucking bullshit coin. And there was other people that got in early and they promoted and everything. They were pulling out $30,000 out of that shit. And we were watching it like, what is happening? We pulled out at losses. I invested my own money. I lost money on that shit with everyone. So fuck them. That's the last and only time I'm ever taking anyone's word for a coin when they come up to me saying this is going to be a good coin. If anyone does that to you, don't believe them. We got fucked over. Don't ever try to approach us with that bullshit again. This is the last time I'm ever talking about it. Next.
I find this quite laughable because he is promoting himself as someone who researches cryptocurrency 10 hours a day, and he's so across it that he's got his own OnlyFans account where people are signing up $49.99 a month. However, then he's saying he's been duped by this crypto coin currency company. It's like, well, hang on. If you're going to put your name and face to something, wouldn't you have been doing a bit of this research into it?
And wasn't that what everybody assumed was happening?
Yes.
This cryptocurrency was trying to get a lot of big names on board to bump up the value of the currency, and then everyone would pull out their funds and just the people who had invested were screwed. Wasn't that the thought?
But it was a pump and what is it? Pump and dump scheme. Yeah.
But the other thing that is so clear is that this was an ad and that they were approached to do it. So if they were approached and paid money to promote Hushcoin, why did they not have any ad signs disclosed?
Exactly.
And sorry to interrupt you, Kate, but what I also find interesting is he's sitting there claiming that they've lost all of this money from Hushcoin. Well, I'd like to know how much money you were paid to promote Hushcoin.
Exactly. And also, so, okay, he brags about how much money he has. So potentially losing $10,000 on an investment's not much for him. But for the young impressionable followers that would have taken his advice, they might be losing their whole life savings or a very big portion of money that means a lot to them. I do find this story particularly interesting in light of what ASIC has said around finfluencers and influencers who are promoting financial advice, because I feel like surely we're not going to be seeing cryptocurrency promoted in Australia for much longer by influencers.
Well, what was quite disturbing is in the Q&A later on, he also answered another question about investing in cryptocurrency, and he was urging people to continue with it. So, I mean, he's strange. Just still spruiking the same bullshit.
Who have we under here?
Mackenzie, sir.
Oh, let me guess. No one saw how this happened. I suppose you tripped.
No, sir. What happened?
Sorry, Mackenzie. You're not about to grass, are you?
Sir?
There's one thing no one likes. It's a grass. So I will ask you how this happened, and you will reply, I tripped.
But, sir, if no one reported crimes, the justice system would collapse and...
I'll ask you again. How did this happen?
I tripped.
Clumsy.
This week, influencer Talia Skains revealed she has a new business venture in place to protect her should her influencer career abruptly end. She made the confession during a Q&A with boyfriend Mitch Third. Let's have a listen to what Talia said.
Do you ever get worried about the uncertainty / security of being self-employed? I like that question. But no, not at all.
We've put things in place that if Instagram ever did shit itself, that we can... We got this real... I don't even want
to... Oh, you're talking about the other thing?
Yeah, we've got this really cool...
You can't say too much. There's another surprise coming, which is... Another
surprise that if Instagram or any sort of platform went down, that we'd be all kind of gravy. So that's exciting. That'll be here in the next month or two, so...
Oh, maybe not 1 month. Maybe 2 months.
2 months. It's going to be...
2 months is so soon. I have so much work. My brain's going to...
We're going to be the only people in Australia who have... got this gone, which is really exciting. So keep your eyes out for that.
So what do you guys think this new venture could be? Because they've already got Third Fix, the drink bottle company. They've also got a hoodie and
loungewear
line.
Yeah, they've got their villa in Bali. And I mean, I know Talia's brought out her own bikini through another range.
And an app. She had a travel app.
Yeah. I mean, they're obviously very clever people. I know that Mitch is really big on sustainability. Like, he drives around in a Tesla and his drink bottle company is based on reducing plastic bottles. I feel like he's a bit of an entrepreneur, so I reckon it would be in that sustainability market. He did say it's something that we haven't got in Australia yet.
So you do think it's a product, not a service of any
kind? I think whatever it is, it will be rooted in sustainability.
Can I just say, I do actually like Talia and Mitch because I feel like they always bring it in their Q&As. I mean, you could see Mitch, he started to pick something off his foot in the middle of it.
Well, it wasn't something. He picked off his little toenail then he proceeded to flick it onto her jewelry, and you could tell she was quite disgusted. But I mean, I was disgusting.
There's nothing worse than finding toenails. I mean, I don't want to embarrass my boyfriend here, but we were moving our lounge upstairs because our heating is not working at the moment. Anyway, I pulled off the cushion covers and I just found this collection of toenails.
Under
the pillow. Yuck. And he claimed, oh, I don't know how they got there. I then pulled up the other cushion and there were more.
That actually makes me feel physically
so
ill.
So were they toenails or fingernails?
Toenails.
That is so disgusting.
Look,
that is beyond disgusting.
What I don't get is, why do boys rip them off or bite them off? I feel like there's nothing better than clipping your toenails with like a nice clip.
I think it's because you don't find yourself gross. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but the thing is
to put them in the bin though.
There's been purpose around hiding the toenails in a spot. Do you remember someone I know in Melbourne? Mm. Her best friend, she had a spot in her car where if she picked her nose, she would have a booger spot that she'd wipe the boogers. And I'm like, this was a 25-year-old woman that was doing this.
Sorry, why not pick up a tissue?
Oh, it's disgusting.
Well, I think that's all we've got time for today. We do hope you enjoyed today's episode.
I hope you weren't eating breakfast while Sophie was discussing the toenail.
Look, and no one mentioned the toenail thing in the Facebook community because I'm paranoid that Brandon's going to find out.
Brandon's not a member of the community.
No, he's not, but I don't want to get him back to
him. Do you know what's funny? We need to give Reese's brother Ryan a shout out because he seems to be the only person that's like male that's interested in our podcast, in our family, and he actually has joined the Facebook community. And
so Ryan, don't say anything.
Yeah, Ryan, don't tell Brandon about it.
If you guys did enjoy the episode, we'd love if you could go and leave us a 5-star review and also make sure you're subscribed on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or wherever you're listening from.
And please make sure you join us in our Facebook community. It is Outspoken, the podcast community.
I hope you all have a wonderful weekend.